As we continue thinking about Christmas, turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. And we're going to drop down to the last part of the Christmas story, after he's been born, after the angels have sung and the shepherds have seen the baby, to one of my favorite parts of the story, and that is dedication of Jesus in the temple. And we will have, for those of you who, if you know of someone who would like to dedicate their child, we will be having baby dedication early in January. If you're interested in that, you need to see Elena. We do require you to go through one of our Lifestone classes to help, which is a class that we do to help teach parenting about the partnership that we want to have in discipling our children as they grow and to celebrate the milestones in their life. And so it's a good brief training time, but Elena will be glad to do that with you and help you get ready. And so if you are interested in that, if you'll contact Elena, we'd be glad to have you be part of that. But it's, 18 days till Christmas. It's right around the corner. Now, like I said, Darlene's already getting ready for Christmas for the widow banquet next year. But she has been known to go Christmas shopping in February to help get ready for some of that. And she starts playing Christmas music in July. And
I see nothing wrong with that.
Right around her birthday. And so I won't fuss at her because it's her birthday. So she does. And so she loves Christmas. And as it gets closer, you begin to think about what is it that you expect? What is it that you're want, what is it that you're looking for? So here's the question. Have you made your wish list for Christmas? Now, I'll date myself a little bit. Now you get on Amazon and you have a wish list online for what you want. We got the big book, the Sears and Roebuck big catalog. And I remember sitting down and reading through it, and we'd take a marker, and we would circle the presents we want. Now, we didn't get very many of them, but we would pick out a lot of them, what we wanted, what we expected, what you want. Some of you have heard me tell stories. There was this weird football game that when I was about 7 or 8 that I just knew I had to have. It had a plastic field carpet that rolled out that was about 6 or 7 feet long. And it had these 6 or 8 inch players, and the linemen all fit in this little strip and could turn a little bit. And you had a running back that you wound up and could let go, and the quarterback who would throw and kick. And then you had two defensive guys that were on rollers that you could roll. And so the guy on offense would give the ball to his running back and wind him up and try to point him in the right direction, and you'd be on defense crashing your guy trying to knock him down. And I just wanted that so badly and finally got it. And the way Mom and Dad tell the story, I was so excited about it that I opened that and played with that. I did not even open the rest of my presents when I saw that football game. I spent the whole day playing with that game. So can you remember something like that you just wanted so bad? What do you expect from Christmas? Well, here in the end, or really in the middle of chapter 2, Luke tells us about two people who had been waiting for Christmas for a long, long time, and their expectation of what would happen. And so I just love the story of Simeon and Anna. And so look at me with me, Luke chapter 2, beginning with verse 21. It says this, on the eighth day, when it came time to circumcise him, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he had been conceived. When the time of their purification according to the law of Moses had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. And as it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. And now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout, and he was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all the people, a light of revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people Israel. And the child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. And then Simeon blessed them, and he said to Mary, his mother, This child is destined to cause the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. Now Simeon was waiting for Christmas. What he was waiting for, what he was expecting, what he was looking for was not something like we see so often today. He wasn't looking for that perfect gift for himself. He wasn't looking for someone to do something nice for him. You know, in a world where we live with so many people who are self-centered and concerned only about what they get out of it, Simeon reminds us what Christmas is really about, and he reminds us about what's really important. What did Simeon want? He wanted the salvation of Israel. He wanted the salvation for his people. He wanted to see, here the NIV says, the Lord's Christ. And I remind you that Christ is simply the Greek word, Christos, is simply the Greek word that is the equivalent of the Hebrew word for Messiah. And so when you see Jesus Christ, what you're seeing in Hebrew would be Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah, Jesus the Christ. And that's just the Greek, Jesus the Christ is the Greek form of. And so he wanted to see the Messiah. He wanted to see God's provision for salvation for his people. And he had prayed for that. He had been righteous. He had been devout. You know, we see that description of him early in this passage, that he was a righteous and devout man waiting for, again, the consolation, the salvation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit revealed to him that he would not die until he saw it, till he saw the Lord's Messiah, the Lord's Christ. And so what he longed for was to see God's provision of salvation. Now, a number of years ago in a bulletin of First Baptist Church of Syracuse, New York, there was this message that was published. And this is what it said. There was a gift for each of us left under the tree 2,000 years ago by him whose birthday we celebrate today. The gift was withheld from no man. Some have left their packages unclaimed. Some have accepted the gift and carry it around, but have failed to remove the wrappings to look inside to discover the hidden splendor. The packages are all alike. In each scroll on which is written, all that the Father has is thine. Take and live. See, that's the gift of Christmas. It's the gift of Jesus. You know, we've been talking about on Sunday, Jesus, only Jesus. That's what Christmas is all about. And Simeon's biggest desire was to see the Christ, to see God's provision for salvation, God's gift of eternal life. You know, we all know that passage in Romans that for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. But I like the imagery from that bulletin. I think it describes what we see. It's that many people have gone to the Christmas tree and that gift is there with their name on it. Christ died for them, but they have refused to receive the gift. They've just left it under the tree and never opened it. They've forgotten about it. Or they even picked it up and shook it, maybe looked at it, carried it around with them, but they never really received it. They never opened it up to see what God had for them. And that's why it's so important at Christmas that we remember that Jesus came not so we would feel good and have an emotion of warmth and love, not even just so we would be kind to each other. Jesus came because we were dead in our sins and we needed a Savior. And he came to do for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. And the only way that we can do that and experience that is to receive him as our Lord and Savior, to enter into a life-changing relationship with him. That's why at the Widow's Banquet, Darlene and I set up that imagery of the cross and the manger side by side. Because the manger means nothing without the cross. That's why the manger happened. Not just so that God would come down and be here with us, but so that he would die for us, so that our sins could be forgiven, so that our debt could be paid, and so that we could receive that gift of eternal life that he wants to give to us. So let's not forget why Jesus came. So Simeon wanted to see salvation for his people. But part of that is that Simeon wanted to see Jesus. He wanted not only to be saved and to see others saved, but he wanted to see and experience Jesus. Now, we use slogans every year, keep Christ in Christmas, Jesus is the reason for the season. But sometimes we get so busy with all of the activities and all of the trappings, all of the decorations and all of the food and all the family time, lots of good stuff, but we miss what it's all about. We miss stopping and looking and seeing Jesus. Simeon's there in the temple. Sacrifices are going on. People are there all around. It's just a normal day in the temple. But he is looking for Jesus. And in the midst of it, he stops everything. He throws his arms in the air and praises God. And he sees and celebrates Jesus. Listen again, verse 27. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. And when the parents brought the child Jesus to do what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you promised, you can now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all the people, a light of revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory to your people Israel." And so he said that I've seen it, and you've done it so everybody else could see it, to see Jesus, to see who he is and what he is. To see that it's not just this child, but it's this Savior who was born. The one who would die on the cross. To see that it was God himself who had left heaven and came to be with us. To see all the love and the things that he wanted to do for us. To see the perfect life that he lived. To see the things that hear the things that he taught us. To see his death and his resurrection. To see Jesus. So, the decorations are pretty. Look at the pretty trees. Look at the pretty lights. But don't miss Jesus. See Jesus. And with that, Simeon wanted to worship God. And that's the right response for Christmas. Now, and we'll probably sing it again Christmas Eve. We're going to sing Silent Night. But my favorite Christmas carol is, "Oh Come All You Faithful." Come and adore Him. Come and worship Christ the Lord. Come and worship. Christmas is a time of worship and praising God. That's why I like having the years when Christmas is on a Sunday, that we get to I love Christmas Eve and reading the Christmas story together and the worship that we will have in that time. But I really enjoy gathering on Christmas morning, having celebrated that the night before, and celebrating again and worshiping God together. It's a time for praising God. Now, When Desert Storm hit, it was the year that that's the year that Jay was born, and my brother-in-law and sister had just started seminary, and they'd been there 2 weeks, and Desert Storm hit, and he got activated and sent overseas, and he was in the National Guard and still is in the National Guard for almost finished with 40 years now. And 40 years. Next year will make 40 years that Ben's served in the National Guard. But Sherry, being an officer's wife, was involved with helping with some of the civic groups buy gifts for the children of the others who had been activated to be sent over. And this happened. One of the other men there in Louisiana, who was a strong believer, had been involved with them, and they basically decided to buy toys for all of the children of those who'd been activated and sent over. And so they came to Walmart, of course, and they went in Walmart, and they were told they could pick out anything that they wanted and to bring it to the cash register. And so this little girl picked up a doll that she found, and she said, "How much does this one cost?" And the man looked at her and said, "Baby, it doesn't matter." She said, "No, we don't have much money. How much does this one cost?" And he said, "Baby, it's been paid for. You pick out anything you want." Now, here's the good news of Christmas. Salvation is a gift to you. and it's already been paid for. It's yours. All you have to do is take it. Now, if that doesn't make you desire to worship Him and His blessings and goodness to you, I don't know what will. But that's His grace, His gift of salvation that is free to all who will respond and come to Him and receive Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. That's the gift of Christmas. So Simeon wanted to worship God. Now, to think about worshiping Him, and it was probably around 1990, there was a singer at that time called Matthew Card. I don't know if any of you remember him or not. But he wrote a song about Simeon worshiping. And it's called Now That I Held Him in My Arms. And I think this expresses well what Simeon may have said. It says this: an old man in the temple was waiting in the court, waiting for the answer to a promise. And all at once he sees them in the morning sunshine, a couple coming carrying a baby. Now that I've held him in my arms, my life can come to an end. Let your servant now depart in peace, because I've seen your salvation. It's the light of the Gentiles and the glory of his people, Israel. Mary and the baby come in her hand 5 shekels, the price to redeem her baby boy. The baby softly cooing, softly nestled in her arms. And Simeon takes the boy and starts to sing. Now that I've held him in my arms, my life can come to an end. Let your servant now depart in peace, because I've seen your salvation. It's the light of the Gentiles and the glory of his people, Israel. And now it's time for you to take him in your arms. Your life will never come to an end. He's the only way that you'll ever find peace. And he'll give you salvation, because he's the light of the Gentiles and the glory of his people, Israel. Amen. Simeon worshiped God. But don't forget that it wasn't just Simeon who saw him that day. And verse 36 tells us there was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. I want you to see her tragedy there. She was married for 7 years. Now, in that culture at that time, they got married at about 15 or 16 years of age. Her husband lived with her, married for 7 years, and then he died. So she would have been 22, 23, even 24 years of age. She was 17. I mean, she's been a widow for 60 years. Wow. There she is. Lonely, without family, without children. A widow for 60 years. She's there in the church. Listen to who she is. Listen to her life. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after marriage, and when she was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but she worshiped night and day. So she lived at the church. There are some of us that's how our life is. She spent all her time, fasting and pray. Fasting and pray. So she worshiped night and day. I mean, you think about that. She never left the temple, but worshiped night and day. Man, that we would be more like that, right? Worship God when we get up in the morning. Worship God at the noontime. worship God at the evening time, worship God in the night time. She fasted and she prayed and she spent time with God. And so I didn't talk much about Simeon, but remember he was righteous and devout. And now here she is, worshiped night and day and spent time in fasting and prayer. That's her life. And so again, she's there in the temple. And then verse 38, coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God. And she spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. What was Simeon looking for? The salvation of Israel. What was Anna looking for? The redemption of Jerusalem. Again, the same thing. Being redeemed. Having their debt paid. That's what redemption means. You pay the debt. The debt of their sin. Again, she's looking for the Messiah. And now she has seen it. And so again, who are these wonderful people late in the years of their life, longing and expecting to see what at Christmas? Salvation. The salvation of Israel. The redemption of Jerusalem, seeing other people come to know God through His Messiah that came at Christmas. And again, we get focused on so many other things. What do you want for Christmas? What should I want for Christmas? To see other people saved. To see other people come to know God. What a glorious time of salvation, the redemption of Jerusalem. And again, just like Simeon, she begins to declare it. She begins to tell everybody who will listen who this child is. And Christmas is such a great opportunity for us, because the truth is most people have forgotten what Christmas is all about. They think it's about decoration and presents and Santa Claus. And they've missed the point that it's about Jesus, only Jesus, and God's gift of salvation to us. And what a great opportunity for us just to seize the moment and seize the time and tell people the true meaning of Christmas. Verse 39, when Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee and to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong, and he was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. The true meaning for Christmas. This little child. So, I told you my favorite Christmas carol is "Oh Come All You Faithful." One of my favorite Christmas songs. It was written by a guy named Scott Wesley Brown. I talked about Michael Card. We're going old school today. Some people before your time, okay? Before you were even born. Scott Wesley Brown was also one of my favorites. And he wrote a Christmas song called "This Little Child." And this is what it says. Who would have thought that long ago, so very far away, a little child would be born and in a manger lay? And who would have thought this little child was born the King of Kings, the son of just a carpenter, but for whom the angel sings? And who would have thought that as he grew and other children played, this little child with whom they laughed and sang would die for them someday? And who would have thought that this little child could make the blind man see, feed the hungry, make rich the poor, and set the sinner free? Oh, who would have thought that this little child who was who the prophet said would take away the sins of man and rise up from the dead? Oh, I believe, and I will always sing, this little child is the King. Oh, I believe, and I will always sing, this little child is the King of Kings. Many years have come and gone, yet this world remains the same. Empires have been built and fallen. Only time has made a change. Nation against nation, brother against brother. Men so filled with hatred killing one another. And over half the world is starving while our banner of decency is torn. Debating over disarmament, killing children before they're born. And fools who march to win the right to justify their sin. And every nation that has fallen from within. Yet in the midst of this darkness, there is a hope, a light that burns. This little child, the King of Kings, someday will return. Oh, I believe, and I'll always sing. This little child is the King. Oh, I believe, and I will always sing. This little child, he is the King of Kings. And who would have thought this little child was who the prophet said will return to judge this world, the living and the dead. Oh, can't you see so very long ago, so very far away, this little child, our only hope, was born a king that day. See this little child. Know this little child. He is what we ought to be expecting. He is what Christmas is all about. Well, let's pray together. Brother Neil, would you dismiss us as we pray?
Father, thank you for the message our pastor brought to us tonight. Lord, on this day of infamy of December 7th, as our pastor had already asked, that we pray for America, I can't help but think that like Simeon and like Anna, would we pray for the salvation of America? Mm-hmm. Would we pray for the redemption of Montgomery? Lord, may we fast and pray like they did. May we be holy men and women like they were. May we celebrate the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords when He comes again. And Lord, until that day, may we await with great joy and celebration the Christ who has saved us with His amazing grace. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen. God bless you. I hope you'll be. Don't miss Sunday. Don't miss that choir.